The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Kim.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Okay, everybody filled up the lines when I first started talking about the Diner 62 quiz. And then they dropped off. So jump back on. 770-5633-770-KMED. There is definitely room for you to win this $20 gift certificate. Diner 62, by the way, all your hearty breakfast favorites. The omelets, the skillets, the waffles, biscuits and gravy, which they sent me last Friday. It was just absolutely delicious. I really like the gravy. It's got a nice little spice to it, nice little peppery, and lots of sausage, too, which I also like part of that. Cinnamon roll, French toast, you name it. And also some of the best taco salads in the valley. And if you haven't tried their clam chowder, that's something to really enjoy. Every Friday, get a cup or a bowl to go, all right? 770-5633. So let me go to Jerry. Jerry is first in line. Hey, Jerry, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good. Good morning.
Today in history, back in 2003, May 29th, 03, Bob Hope celebrates his 100th birthday. Some 35 U.S. states declare it to be Bob Hope Day, May 29th, 2003, when the iconic comedic actor and entertainer turns 100 years old. In a public ceremony held in Hollyweird, city officials renamed the intersection of Hollyweird Boulevard and Vine Avenue, famous for its historic buildings and a central point of the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Bob Hope Square. Now, several 1940s-era U.S. planes flew overhead, too, Jerry, as part of an air show honoring Hope's longtime role as an entertainer of U.S. armed forces all around the world. Bob Hope, who was then suffering from a failing eyesight and hearing, hadn't been seen in public for 3 years. He was too sick, unfortunately, to attend the ceremonies. But three of his kids attended the naming ceremony, along with some of his younger colleagues, including Mickey Rooney. I guess the question that we're asking this time, Jerry, is how many times did Bob Hope go overseas entertaining the troops on Christmas? How many times? Was it A, 30 times? Was it B, 36 times? Was it C, 42 times, D, 48, or 54? So 30, 36, 42, 48, or 54 times. How many times did Bob Hope entertain the troops on Christmas? What do you say?
I go in the middle, maybe 42.
42, as good as any. Not this time, Jerry. Thanks for playing, though. Let me go to the next one. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Good morning.
You're on. Who's this?
Good morning.
Morning.
This is Wally.
Okay, Wally. 30, 36, 48, or 54 times. How many times was Bob Hope overseas entertaining the troops on Christmas?
48.
Was it 48? Survey said.
You're a winner!
Yep. You got it, Wally. In 1941, after America entered World War II, Hope started performing for troops abroad. He'd play shows for more than a million American servicemen by 1953. Some 65 million people watched him perform for troops in Vietnam on Christmas Eve in 1966 in his largest broadcast. I remember watching that when I was a little kid, by the way. He spent 48 Christmases with American troops overseas. So 48 out of 50 Christmases that he experienced during that period, he ended up spending with the troops. So just amazing. Just an amazing story, all right? So, Wally, you're headed to Diner 62. Amazing food. You know that, though, okay? Hang on, all right? It is 8:21 at KMED, KCMD. A little bit of open phone time. Daniel Greenfield will join me here in a few minutes. We'll talk about how the left is really nothing new. It's like an old, 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 very sad story. And so, keep your heart up, okay?
We spend a lot of time at work. Shouldn't you feel like you're cared for while you're there? At Kelly's Automotive Service, our staff voted us one of the top 100 businesses to work for in Oregon, and we're in need of experienced technicians at both our Grants Pass and Medford locations. If you're ready to be part of something bigger, check us out at kellysautomotive.com or come in and drop off your resume and talk to our staff yourself. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, take care of you, and are a great place to work.
How can you avoid the stress and headaches of selling your home in today's market?
Hey, it's Lars, and let me tell you, the only agent in Medford that can save you from all that stress is Jared Hokanson with Hokanson Realty. Don't let the negative media reports about interest rates stop you. Get the facts from a professional. Jared has years of experience and in-depth knowledge of the market right here in Medford. Jared has the right strategic options for you. And in this market, when he puts his marketing to work for you, that strategy helps attract the right kind of buyers at the right time who are willing to pay top dollar. Jared even guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or Jared buys the home instead. Real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I both recommend only Jared Hokanson in Medford and in Southern Oregon. Call Jared today at 541-772-SOLD or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and tell Jared Lars sent you.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point has a menu designed to appeal to everyone in the family. Choose from 13 hearty burgers served with fresh-cut fries, crisp and moist pressure-fried chicken, hand-dipped fish and chips, beer-battered prawns, sandwiches, steaks, salads, and more. Dine in or check out the menu online. Call in your order, and it'll be waiting for a quick and easy pickup. Support your local restaurants. Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
The Joe Pags Show.
Why then should I believe, as the person financing all of this, that he's just going to go into Poland, a NATO country? Ukraine is not NATO. A NATO country, which would mean de facto, if you attack a NATO country, you're attacking the United States. Mm-hmm. And he is not going to do that. He is not that stupid. He's bad. Evil, bad, evil. Bad. Dictator, bad. Putin, bad. But he's not stupid.
Evening 6 to 8 on KMED. The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes of open phone before we end up talking with Daniel Greenfield, investigative journalist from Front Page Mag, frontpagemag.com. By the way, if you're thinking about taking out all of your fireworks and exploding targets or metallic targets or steel component ammunition, you have tracer or incendiary devices you want to shoot off and sky lanterns, they're all prohibited on BLM land. Just thought you should know that they announced those fire restrictions here lately, okay? just want to make sure you know. Another one. Senator Ron Wyden yesterday having a press conference here. Medford City Hall, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden criticizing Postmaster General Louis DeJoy's push to consolidate the U.S. Postal Service, saying, "It defies common sense." Poor Ron with the S's, right? "It just seems to be asinine, even by government standards," the Oregon Democrat said. "It's obviously causing needless heartache for residents and small businesses here in Southern Oregon." I wonder when they write his speeches if they try to keep the S's out. I don't know. It could be wrong about that. Problem is, though, is that the Postal Service has been said you got to save money. So what do? Consolidate. Then people get PO'd because you're consolidating. And then let's shove all the ballots into the mail system. What could go wrong? Let me go to Brad. Hey, Brad, how you doing? Welcome on the Bill Myers Show.
Bill, good morning. Hey, you know, that was a pretty good impersonation of Sylvester the Cat. That was pretty good.
Well, I always called him Senator Sylvester, you know, so there we go. He can't help it. I know it's cold, but, you know, I just get every time, just once, I want to hear Senator Ron Wyden say, suffering succotash, just one time, suffering succotash, just to hear what it would sound like.
It'd be good. It'd be good. Hey, so I just got back from visiting family out in Eastern Oregon, and I was listening to you visiting with Dennis Olympicum this morning, and I had this moment of clarity. I thought, you know, all the folks that moved here from somewhere else, by here I'm talking to Oregon in general, and maybe rural Oregon more specifically, but how about all the people that when you got here, you thought to yourself, wow, this is so much nicer than where I came from? Here's a thought. How about if you, for this, just try an experiment. For this election season, try voting in a way that you think would be consistent with the people that already lived here when you got here.
Real American salute. Of course, you are.
I was over in Baker City, and Baker City, I mean, you're talking about people that drive Fords and Chevys and pretty old, but you can tell who the tourists are. You know, they've got their Range Rovers and the California license plate frames and all that. And having a cup of coffee and listening to these folks, it's like, wow, this is really nice. This is so much nicer than we come. You know what? We ought to think about moving here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? Okay, great. But if you like it so well, and if this is so nice to you compared to where you came from, how about trying this experiment? Try making the same decisions when you get here that the people were making before you got here, and maybe it will continue to be nice.
In other words, when in Rome, right? That kind of thing. You're fighting human nature now, and unfortunately, I'm sad to say, you know, my daughter Sarah, love her dearly. I hardly ever hear from her anymore, but it's because of my politics. She just doesn't seem to want to talk about anything.
Bummer.
So she and her boyfriend, they moved to Florida. They moved to Florida, and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, you know. Another two woke Portland votes end up going and diluting it. I think. I don't know. Like I said, she never calls me anymore. And it's, you know, you wonder. You say, I would like to tell her if she would call me sometime. Just, honey, just look at what makes Florida, Florida. And listen, try to turn off Trump derangement here for a little bit. Maybe you'll learn something. So I'm with you on that. Maybe think about, you know, where you're actually moving.
Well, rural Oregon is just so well managed, and the people are nice, and the cities are clean, and the crime is low, and you don't see a lot, you know, there aren't a lot of break-ins, and there isn't a lot of the nonsense that people move here to get away from. There isn't, because of the way that we run things.
I would also add that rural California is very similar. I mean, we talk about California being crazy.
Not nearly as much.
Yeah. Rural California is very sensible.
Yeah, Lassen County, Modoc County, Siskiyou County. You know, right? State of Jefferson. Right?
Yeah. Hey, Brad, did I ever tell you what it was like when I was in Cedarville? When Linda and I would go to the hot tub place out there, you know, the hot springs. And during COVID time, right? We were never mask wearers, right? But we during the COVID time. We're in California, and we're thinking, boy, California is pretty strict about this kind of stuff, right? And so we went into the cafe in Cedarville, and, well, maybe we should put our mask on just to be polite, because they're probably really being serious about the mask at that time, right? So Linda and I walk into this cafe. Door opens, and then everybody turns around and looks at us, and they gave us that look like, oh, you're not from around here, are you? none of them had a mask on. So it's a different attitude in the rural land. The rural urban divide is real, for sure.
It is. It's true. Anyway, I love it when you talk to Eric Peters. Love it when you talk to Dennis. Great show today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let me grab a couple more calls here before news. All right. Thank you, Brad. Hi, KMED. This is Bill. Who's this? Hello.
Yeah, this is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. What are you thinking?
Oh, I got a word for those Republicans that aren't voting. If they don't vote, they don't count. They don't matter. And they've got no right to complain, so they should just bend over and take it.
Yeah. Bohica. All right, Jerry, appreciate the sentiment, all right? Line 3, hi. Who's this? Good morning. Hi, you're on.
Bill?
Yes.
Ah, sorry, I didn't know it was me. How are you? This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. What's up?
Well, speaking of not from being around here, you know, here I was just driving to work this morning, and I hear that Ron Wyden has, you know, left his lofty perch in his true home, which is New York City, not Oregon.
Well, actually, I've been informed that he moved to Connecticut, so he's our Connecticut senator representing Oregon now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Even he couldn't stand New York City any longer,
yeah,
I think.
That's great. but he found it, you know, in his heart to show up in little old Medford, Oregon, you know, to do whatever he does. Yeah, I had to pull the car over. I had a little weepy moment there. How long, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, you know, digress too much, but how long are we going to put up with this guy? I mean, you know, what? It's not bad enough that he doesn't live in Oregon, but, you know, his politics and the things that he stands for and the things that he gets behind and passes are just abominable. You know, how long? I mean, I know it's a money thing and he's been there forever, but how long are we going to put up with this lemon? I mean, I can't stand Ron Wyden, you know, for all those reasons.
How long are we going to put up with him? I don't know. Getting Oregonians to see through the, you know, the dog and pony act about, here it is, here's the grift, here's the grant stream funding. You know, that's all most people seem to care about, unfortunately. I wish that weren't the case. But the one thing I will say, though, in Senator Ron Wyden's defense, of all the many senators out there, he's been pretty darn good on civil liberty issues, which are, generally speaking, not real popular with a lot of our Congress critters for some reason. Appreciate the call, though. Thank you for making it. And one more. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Willow in Ashland. Am I on, Bill?
You are on, Willow. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. I have listened to you for the last 20 years about, and I appreciate your show so much.
Well, thank you.
It's a wonderful way to wake up in the morning. This morning, my respect for your opinion and perception got a little bit bruised by your talking about somebody's physical affliction over which they have no control. I believe it was the pronunciation of the S's. It's not about attacking people's physical disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's about their position and perception and intention.
Yeah, I understand that. I admitted that, you know, it's not a high blow, so to speak. I'll concede your point on that one. I just can't help it. I can't help it because of the of the politics.
Well, that's one of your afflictions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hear Senator Wyden talking. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I can't. But anyway, point well taken. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Sorry that I bruised your opinion, but it's 8:34. Daniel Greenfield joins me here in a couple of minutes, okay?
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious, specializing in European-style pastries, offering the largest selection of fresh baked pastries in the Rogue Valley, croissants, danishes, cream cheese pockets, bear claws, scones, turnovers, Napoleons, buttercream cones, beignets, cinnamon rolls, coffee cake muffins, and more. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 3, and Saturday, 8 to 3. Stop by 1325 Center Drive or visit artisanbakerymedford.com. Also, order on DoorDash.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Former President Trump is back in the Manhattan courthouse he's become so familiar with over the past month or so. He's there as jurors in his criminal case, prepared to begin deliberations. Another U.S. military drone has crashed in Yemen. It's not clear whether it was shot down by Iran-backed Houthi rebels based in Yemen. Brazil's president has withdrawn his country's ambassador to Israel. This comes after months of tension between the two countries over the ongoing war in Gaza. More heavy weather in Texas, this time hitting Dallas and the Houston areas. Huge hailstones, flooding rains, vicious winds left one person dead yesterday in Houston. Forecasters warn of the possibility of more bad weather today. Stocks are sharply lower this morning on Wall Street. The Dow is down 352 points, while the Nasdaq is off 68 points. More details, srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post frame and steel buildings for over 20 years. Hardcastle Trailers, where the customers came. Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastle's offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastle's friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastle's, where the customer is king.
When concrete around your home sinks, it's never pretty, and it's usually not safe either. Terra Firma has the solution. We can inject safe, expanding foam through a hole smaller than a dime and lift existing concrete sidewalks, steps, patios, and more. Best of all, there's no mess, and you can walk or drive on the repair in just 15 minutes. So for a solution to sinking concrete at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, call Terra Firma for a safe, clean concrete repair.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
It's fashionable to think that the challenges that we face today in today's America, in today's Oregon, today's Southern Oregon, as an example, are something new. Then you find out, when you look at history, the truth is a little bit different. We're going to talk with Daniel Greenfield now. He's an investigative journalist and columnist, strong interest in the historical origins of the crises tearing us apart. Okay, he's a Shulman Journalism Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's covered national and international events, high-profile breaking news stories, and with consistent probing journalism, has shown how the lessons of history can be applied to the present. And this is why it's his new book that we're going to talk about here, Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers' Fight Against the Left. Daniel, appreciate you being on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
What made you think about this particular topic that, the invasion, the intrusions of so much of the political left are really nothing new? I'll bet you most people don't know that or have even considered about it. They're thinking like 1960s or beyond, or maybe even the New Deal and beyond. Perhaps that's what they're thinking. How'd you come around to this?
So many people are thinking that. And actually, not all that long ago, the left created its big revisionist history of America, the 1619 Project, which claimed that the origins of America were with slavery. And I thought it might be the 1619 Project for the left, because the left actually does not like to talk about its history. If you look generally at the media coverage, the left doesn't even exist. They're just some young grassroots activists who suddenly show up one day. They're protesting the Vietnam War. They're protesting over Gaza. They're protesting over the environment. There's no continuity there. Leftist organizations are usually described as nonpartisan. Because the left really does not like to be identified as a specific movement. It doesn't have a history, because if you deal with its history, you have to deal with the fact that its ideas are old. They failed over and over again. And it's just the same old stuff that is being handed over to us under the guise of these new, young, fresh faces and a new name: liberal, progressive, woke. All these names keep changing, but it's the same movement. So I actually went back to the origins of the left in American history, which actually go back to after the American Revolution. I documented the conflicts over the Constitution, how the left came after George Washington, the origins of what eventually becomes the Democratic Party. And it's revealed, because beyond just the history part of it, it's the same things that have been going on over and over again. These are really not new conflicts. It's important for us to also know that, because when I was writing this, it was 2020. There was so much despair, lockdowns, race riots, rigged elections. There was a sense we had never dealt with anything like this. The America we knew was lost. It's important to understand this has been going on for over 200 years. It's not a new problem. The founding fathers dealt with it.
Okay, you talked about what would become the political left came after General and then President George Washington. In what respect? And was it the Democrat Party at that time, or the Democratic Party? What became the Democratic Party? Or was it under a different name, like, you know, the Whigs and the Federalist or the Anti-Federalist, et cetera? What say you?
Well, back then, the big issue was the French Revolution. We didn't formally have parties yet. George Washington actually comes out strongly against having political parties.
Right.
But the French Revolution is the communist revolution of that era. It's the thing that so many people on the left are excited about, because the French Revolution, unlike the American Revolution, is about creating enforced equality, redistribute wealth, eliminate any distinctions, create this ideal perfect society. And many of these people think that the American Revolution should have gone there too, that it stopped in the wrong place. It stopped with independence. It stopped with returning power to the people, whereas it should have actually tried for this ideal society. They want to bring the French Revolution to America. That's why they have these newspapers that were associated with the left in America at the time. They depict George Washington being led to the guillotine. They denounce him in the worst possible terms. They make his life very, very miserable. And at one point, Washington actually becomes the only president to lead troops in the field against one of these leftist uprisings. And the French Revolution itself tries to export the revolution. Their emissaries come to America. They set up organizations called democratic societies. Then eventually there is the Democratic Republican Party, and the Republican part of that are the moderates. The Democrat part of that, the Democratic part of that, are the people who are really sympathetic to the French Revolution. And you know, eventually they just shed the Republican Party entirely, and they just become the Democrats.
Yeah, wasn't that an uncomfortable time for America to try to resist the French Revolution types? Because did not France help us then in our bid for independence, because the enemy of their enemy ends up being our friend? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of people did make that argument. Of course, by the time you get to the Adams administration, we actually are in a quasi-war with France, which is something I also discussed in Domestic Enemies. We're actually fighting the French on the high seas. They're attacking our ships, and they're timing these attacks to influence the Electoral College and influence the presidential election. I actually found notes from the French ambassador at the time, and he's discussing how he's coordinating these attacks with, his quote, our friends in Congress. So they're actually coordinating with an enemy to manipulate an election by engaging in attacks on American vessels.
Boy, is that much different than even the rumors that we have right now that maybe even members of Congress? Now, I'm not naming any names here, Daniel, but there's talk about so much support for open immigration that people have wondered if even our Congress people are bought off. Is that kind of the sort of collusion that you're talking about here in Domestic Enemies?
It's not entirely different. Obviously, open borders is maintained because it politically benefits the Democrats. And the
sure.
Biden administration has done everything possible. I don't want to detour too much into that, but it's actually fighting states in court to try to secure their borders. So they want this. And at the time, there were things that politically benefited people, and they're willing to commit treason to undermine the country in order to get those things. So in a way, the Democrats have been pretty consistent about this for two centuries.
All right. Very good. Daniel, by the way, I want to make sure that you know about it. The book out now is Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. And it's a different look at history. This is the kind of history we don't hear too much of. And this is not the first time that a pandemic was used to steal an election. In this case, it was 1800. I'm not familiar with that. Tell me a little bit about that story. It's a fascinating take on it because we look at 2020 as the only time this has really happened.
Actually, in the 2020 election, some of what happened back then, 1800 first contested presidential election, gets referenced. And it actually nearly brings the country to the brink of civil wars. And Massachusetts and Pennsylvania are actually talking about fighting each other. Anyway, the pandemic of the era is something called yellow fever. Entire cities are evacuated. Thousands of people, which is a huge number back then, die. George Washington has to evacuate, even without his papers. The entire federal government really is in disarray. And people are really afraid. They don't know what the medical treatment for it is at the time. They don't know what's causing this. And it's a perfect opportunity for people to step in. And one of the guys who steps in is a guy named Aaron Burr. We kind of remember Aaron Burr after he's disgraced. He leaves office as vice president, and he kills Alexander Hamilton in a duel. But at this point, he's trying to be president of the United States, and he has a plan for doing that by hijacking the pandemic to change how voting happens. And he figures out how to put a lot more voters on the voting rolls. The results bring over New York to the Democrats and shift over the entire election to the Democrats. The whole thing actually deadlocks in Congress, nearly bringing the country to the brink of civil war. But it's another example of just how the things we think are new are actually not new. Aaron Burr really ushers in the first modern election. He does minority outreach. He brings voters to the polls. He starts collecting data on voters.
Oh.
It's really the first, I call him the first community organizer.
Well, yeah, it sounds like he was one of the first early versions of ballot harvesting, right? The big ballot harvester of sorts. Wow.
Yeah, they...
Instead of driving you to the polling place like today, instead we'll just have the horse come pick you up, I guess, at that time. Oh, wow. You know, Daniel, you talk about is what we think of as socialism mostly from France, or were there other aspects of European society that also tended to be influenced by this ideology that ended up, you know, even battling the United States, the early United States? What would you say?
Socialism was definitely a European import. France had it popularized in part because of people like Fourier, who innovates the agricultural commune. We see that at the collective farms in the Soviet Union. But they actually start setting up these communes in America in the 1820s, as early as that.
Wow.
And there they abolish private property, at least they try to. They abolish marriage. They abolish religion. In a really stunning moment, Robert Owen is known as the father of British socialism. Comes to Congress, he delivers the speech to Congress, there's a former president, a sitting president there, and he talks about how his new system is going to transform America and the world. So this stuff was here pretty early, and America was a great target for Europeans because there weren't that many laws, things were formless, and a lot of people were willing to experiment, and there was so much territory for them to experiment with.
Yeah. I find that interesting about abolishing marriage. Is this kind of going to what the modern Marxist theory is all about, in which you're either the oppressor or the oppressed, that kind of worldview?
Well, the core leftist idea is we need to deconstruct everything that exists in order to create this ideal society. We need to take out everything. One of the things that these communes began to do, they tried to abolish marriage, they tried to abolish the family. Children would be raised collectively. We see this in various collective farm movements after that.
Yeah, but the family unit, Daniel, is an organic situation. It's a natural state of being. What was the argument? I'd be curious to establish, you know, the core unit of civilization.
Well, that's the whole point. If you want to transform civilization, you have to completely take it apart. You have to take everything apart. You have to take, I mean, today they're taking apart the idea of what is a woman. So
right.
It really is about taking apart everything, every biological reality. And you, if you have a family unit, the parents are raising the children, they're passing on ideas to the children. You don't want that. So one of the things that these people start doing is they promote centralized education, which becomes eventually the public school system that we know. They actually have this idea. They're going to take children from their parents around the age of 2 or 3. They're going to have them raised by the state. And then just release them at the age of 18. Of course, they'll be completely programmed by then. And, you know, thankfully, they did not get to do that. But they did get to create a lot of our modern public school system.
Yeah, the hand that rocks the cradle, so to speak, right? Daniel Greenfield, his new book is Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Now, was the difference between today's challenges with the left, Daniel, and perhaps the challenges back then during the founding, is there a case to be made that the modern opposition party, where you call the Republicans, is not as firm in its response as perhaps people who were more like, you know, Team Freedom were back during the founder? Well, how would you evaluate what we're dealing with right now? Because I could swear my one criticism of the national Republicanism is that it's always just taking a little bit more of the poison of socialism, poison of the left. And it's always incrementalism. It's kind of going along, well, that's too far, but we'll take a little bit of this. How would you read this, our differences?
That is absolutely the problem. The Republicans, we in general, for that matter, have become very complacent because life became more comfortable. Life was not comfortable, was not easy early on in America's founding. I mentioned earlier that George Washington becomes the first president to command troops in the field. The founding fathers, the framers, are actually fairly willing to confront the left through legislation like the Alien and Sedition Act to drive out foreign agitators militarily when they actually engage in insurrection. And we saw what happened in 2020. There was no meaningful response to massive nationwide riots and an attack directly on the White House. So we've become fairly weak, and we tend to think that there is a compromise point, that the left has gone this far. It's not going to go any farther. Now, this is what I call the standard conservative fallacy. You know, we've lost this battle, but that's it, because the left has achieved its goals. You know, we're going to challenge it on its hypocrisy if it tries to go any further. It's got gay marriage. It's not going to go any further than that. Okay, it's got men and women's sports, but it's not going to go any farther than that. And that's wrong, because the whole left's goal isn't any particular issue. It's the revolution. This is an important thing to remember. It uses those issues to destabilize and transform society. The victories themselves don't really matter. It's always going to push on.
You're kind of going down the road of why here politically in Southwest Oregon, you know, Oregon is a democratically controlled state. We've been hungering for representatives who are not willing to cut deals, even though it could be harmful in sometimes, in some situations, when it comes to money coming in. But if you got a bad bill, if there's bad legislation, if there's bad policies, evil policies being proposed, you just vote no. And I think we're hungering for those kind of people. And is that what it's going to take, I think, to turn back the current crop of leftists?
Certainly. Look at the left. When the left is in the minority, it does not give up. The left is in the legislative minority in the House. Does it just sit there with its hands folded? No, it fights as much as it can, exploits advantages, it divides the Republicans, and then it figures out a way to exploit any particular advantage. Republicans, and this is a problem with a lot of conservatives in general, when they're in the minority, they give up. When they're in the majority, they become complacent. And the left is never complacent because it truly passionately believes in what it is doing. That's the important thing. You know, I talk a great deal about the left and how destructive it is, but there is something to remember about it. The people who are in the left are passionate. They believe in what they're doing, yep. And they are generally convinced that it's their way or the planet is going to be destroyed. So they're willing to do anything, lie, cheat, kill, steal. I'm not recommending we do those things.
In other words, but it's a moral cause to them, and it's by any means necessary for that reason.
Yes.
You know, whatever it takes, you know, the means, the ends justify the means in this particular case. You know, you talked about how we were made of firmer stuff back in those days during the founding, in which you had all the leftist attacks even going on then. But we were made of sterner stuff here. And is there a possibility we're going to have to experience hard times in order to rekindle some of that when all of a sudden, you know, if you have truly hard times in a society, you're not worried about gender dysphoria and getting all the kids mutilated, as an example, in the transgender surgeries. You know, you have to start focusing on things that actually really matter. Is that a possibility? Not that I'm wanting to call for hard times, but is that what it will take since we're so soft these days?
I think we're already experiencing some hard times, relatively speaking, and it's woken some people up. Bottom line is we have to remember much of the country is really apolitical. A lot of people don't trust either party. They go back and forth based on, you know, whatever the economic situation is or how dissatisfied they are. But, you know, when the left actually gets power and it actually wrecks things and life actually changes, it's not just, you know, things you're hearing on talk radio, but you actually see your life getting worse, then a lot of people do start waking up. And I think we're seeing that in the polls. No matter what the media says, people don't believe it anymore because they go to the grocery store. They go to the gas pump. Mm-hmm. They see what their credit card bills look like. There's no substitute for real life experience. And even the mildest hard times we have is still waking people up.
DanielGreenfield.org is where you can find out more about Daniel. I'll certainly post this up. And also the link to Domestic Enemies, the Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Now, do you have that on your website, too, over at Front Page or elsewhere? I just want to make sure people can find you here, Daniel.
Absolutely. It's there in both places.
All right. Very good. I appreciate the take here. So there is hope, but we're really going to have to toughen up from the sounds of it, huh? I'll give you the final word.
Absolutely. But the good news is we've been doing this for 200 years. We're still here. It's an ongoing battle, and we can win.
All right. Glad to hear that. Daniel, thanks so much for sharing some thoughts on Domestic Enemies, the Founding Fathers' Fight Against the Left. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 8:55. You're on KMED, KCMD.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and here's the deal people keep asking about. When will we have more F-150s, the payment of only $445 a month? The answer is right now. Lease a 2024 Ford F-150 crew cab for only $445 a month. Work, tow, play, haul in a new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month at Butler Ford. Nobody knows how to make a lease deal work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck at a low payment, like $445 a month on a Ford F-150 crew cab. Whew, I'm running out of time in this ad, but call and ask about the low lease payments we're having on our new Ford Escapes. Remember, Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. And Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford F-150. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, hybrid, and electric vehicle.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle cap cost of $42,884. On approved finance through Ford credit. Offer expires 6/3/24.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly. O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Saving big. I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Allergy Nursery, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
It's 8:57. Hey, before we wrap for Wheels Up Wednesday, some emails of the day sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry and Dr. Steve Nelson. It's just next to the new Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. Got that nice, newer location. Check them out at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Call for your appointment. They accept most dental plans, and they offer one of their own if you don't have dental insurance. It's kind of similar to dental insurance, but better benefits, fewer limitations. I think you'll enjoy that. centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And I'm going. Leslie writes in this morning about the leftist on Nextdoor who is describing me as 3 hours of shrieking hate. And I thought it was pretty funny. And she says, screeching hate for 3 hours is hilarious, Bill. Clearly, they're desperate. I got a good chuckle out of that one. Hey, I appreciate that. Dingy Harry Reid writes, Thufferin Fuckatash. Good morning. She shells at the seashore. What? Oh, you're talking about the Senator Wyden. And Harry says, when I see this drooling buffoon on the news, I resist the urge to throw a brick through my 1970s TV screen. As bad as this guy is, Merkley is worse. They should both be required to wear tall white dunce caps so everyone will know they're from Oregon. Southern Oregon is safe for now, much to my surprise. Next up, the commie loons now say a nice climate is now a human right. A signature gathering happening now for the next ballot bill. Wonder who is going to pay for Oregon's health care as a human right law. Won't be me. Harry Reid. All right, Harry, I appreciate you writing on this one. And Granny wraps up the email of the day this morning saying, just a thought from Thomas Paine. Reputation is what men and women think of us. Character is what God and angels know of us. Thank you very much for that, Granny. Very nice. Appreciate your emails. Read them all, and we'll try to get some more of them on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com, and we'll catch you then.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered.